to evening service. Welcome to those online as well. It's our pleasure to have Donia McLeod of the Faith Mission preaching to us tonight. So we had the disciple this morning, so we're looking forward to the old master this evening. And following on from the service this evening, there'll be a fellowship at 7:30, to which all are welcome, so please do stay on if you can. We have the usual meetings through the week tomorrow. A reminder that there'll be an elders' prayer meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And next Sunday morning, the congregation are asked to arrive by 10:50 because it's Remembrance Sunday. So you can be here 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. That would be much appreciated. And also, just a notice that we have a church meal coming up on the 24th of November, with a bit more information to come on that in due course. So these are all intimations, and we pray for God's blessing upon Donnie as he leads us in worship now.
Well, thank you very much for the warm welcome, and it's always a privilege to be here to share in this time of worship with you. We're going to begin our worship. We're going to sing a psalm in Gaelic, Psalm 117. And then right after that, John McSween will lead us in a Gaelic prayer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. We're going to sing again, this time from Sing Psalms, and it's Psalm 95, and we'll sing verses 1 to 7 to God's praise. Maybe the Scottish Altar version that's up there. Right?
Come, let us sing to the Lord. Come, let us sing to the Lord.
We're going to read now from the Word of God, from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, and we'll read from verse 25 to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 10 at verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him into an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Amen, and we pray that God will bless to us the reading of his own precious word. Just before we turn back and look at that passage we read last there, we're going to sing again, this time from Psalm 25. The first version of the psalm, I think it is, the Scottish Psalter this time, and we'll sing verses 1 to 6, please. Let me not be ashamed. Just a short prayer before we turn to the Word. Lord, we do thank you for your precious Word. And we realize that without you we can do nothing. We need you, O Lord. Precious Lord, we need you. Every hour we need you. We especially need you when we turn to your Word. Speaker and hearers alike, we need the Lord. And we pray for that help that you alone can give, that we would have hearts that would be open, ears that would hear and understand, and that you would get all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look back at this passage. It's a very familiar passage of the story of Mary and Martha that we know so well. I would encourage you, if you could, to stay on tonight. Jeff will be sharing something of his story of how he came to know the Lord, and I'll be sharing a little bit of an update. It won't take too long, and we would look forward to having fellowship together just a little later. The verses we could consider, we'll consider the passage, but in verse 41 of Luke 10, it says, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her.'" Just a few comments, first of all. The village was Bethany, as we will know, where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived. We read that in chapter 11 at verse 1. And also we read there that this was a family that was loved by Jesus. Jesus loved this family. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have written about a family, that Jesus loved this family? And it's not unreasonable to assume either that it wasn't just Jesus that was there. Commentators think it's most likely that the disciples were there as well, although it's Jesus as mentioned in the passage. It's also very possible that Martha and Mary, they were expecting the guest. Jesus often, he sent someone ahead of him to prepare the way and to prepare for them coming. And it's most likely the meal would have been prepared beforehand. And when Jesus arrived, we were told that Martha welcomed him and Mary sat at his feet. Well, we're told that Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." We might be inclined to feel a little bit for Martha, would we? And there we would think she's got the heavy end of the stick, as it were. Left in the kitchen, was Mary just being a little bit lazy and not helping there, and leaving Martha to do all the work? We might be inclined to think a little bit like that. And it would have been right and proper that both of them didn't disappear to the kitchen, because if a guest, a very important guest, came to your house, you wouldn't just normally desert the guest and all disappear. But somebody would be quite normal to do that, wouldn't it? Just to stay and chat and make fellowship with a guest. Hospitality, at the same time, it's a gift. And serving a well-prepared meal is very important. It's a gift. And in Romans 12:13, we read that contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And we could say, well, is that not what Martha was doing? And no doubt, she could be commended in many ways. No doubt she was doing this to the best of her ability. She was doing it also out of respect and care for her master. In many ways, Martha could be commended for her attention to household affairs, couldn't she? But we're told that she was in the kitchen, she was serving, or just overwhelmed with much serving, while Mary was at the feet of Jesus listening to his teaching. In fact, we're told that she was distracted with much serving. And is this not a very appropriate passage for us in the day that we live in? Aren't there just so many distractions? Aren't there just so many things that without us even realizing we can get caught up with? We can get distracted away from the main things, even doing things that are good. She had her own plan, obviously. This is what she had worked it all out, that this is the way it would happen. But of course, it was much more important to be where Jesus was, to be listening to what he had to say. And actually, she gets quite worked up about the whole thing. You can even tell there's an annoyance in what she says when she comes, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" And if it's like she's saying, "And if you really care, tell her then to help me." And she even gets to a place when she's bringing an accusation against Jesus himself of his lack of care. And all this happened because she was really not where she should have been. It's like others are wrong, but not me. Why does this happen? I'm sure we've all experienced it from time to time. It happened because she wasn't where she should have been. Like Mary was at the feet of Jesus. And how easy it is, isn't it, for things to creep into our lives. This does not happen overnight. This does not happen just on the spur of the moment. But this is something that creeps in over a period of time. That we find ourselves just not in the right place. We live in a day of distractions. We have mobile phones, don't we? One of the biggest distractions of today are mobile phones. We constantly have them in our hands. You know, it doesn't just happen overnight. But we have to be careful how easy it is. Perhaps the reading of the word gets a little bit less frequent. Perhaps we don't read it like we used to read it. Perhaps we don't read it slowly and prayerfully and seek to take it in and to hear prayerfully what is God saying through his word. Our praying is affected. Maybe attendance at the means of grace is not just the priority it used to be. Attitudes, you know, can creep in if they're not dealt with. And they get worse. And we can get to that place when we're just not happy. We're not happy with the church. Perhaps we're not happy with the singing. But there's many things that can just seem that they're not right to us. But all the time, it's not all the other things that's wrong. It's not the church that's wrong. It's that we're wrong. That we get into a place where we're away from where we should be. We get distracted. Like Martha got distracted, even doing something that was good in itself. And she wasn't at the feet of Jesus. And she needed a little rebuke. The Lord answered her. He says, "Martha," there was no question, Martha was the Lord's. This family was loved by Jesus. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Is there someone like that here or listening? We can get anxious and we can get troubled about many things. Jesus said to her, "One thing is necessary." You know, she was getting worked up about many things. She needed a word of direction. She needed to be brought back to a right place. She needed to be brought back to the feet of Jesus. I wonder, is that true for us here tonight, for someone? See, there's a warning for us here. We can read it, and it's God's word speaking to us. But we need to take stock, and I need to take stock of where I am. And we need to take stock of where we are. As I said, we can get distracted so easily. We can get anxious and troubled. You know, when we find ourselves like that, we're perhaps not just the best of company, like the company we used to be. We perhaps don't so readily just talk about the Lord. And we have to watch too, because we can affect how we influence others. So what's the answer? Well, we want to have a wee look at Mary. Mary's priority. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Jesus' own response to Martha's complaint was, "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." She was listening to his teaching. This was the needful thing. This was the one thing that was needful. She was at the Lord's feet. Jesus is the one thing needful for us. It's him that we need above everything else. Amidst all the possible distractions there could be, we need to focus on him and perhaps focus on you. You see, Mary needed that. And we need that. We need to be at his feet. She chose to be there. But Martha needed it as well, but she wasn't there. Listening, in the listening there's understanding. Taking in his very words at his feet. We couldn't think, could we, of a better place to be. How often are we like Martha? You know, it's wonderful. What a wonderful situation for them when Jesus came to their house. Amazing. The Savior will come to the homes of those he loves and of those who love him. He'll come where he's welcome. To those who are hungry. To those who will sit at his feet. We read also at the beginning of this passage that Martha welcomed him to her house. She actually welcomed him to her house. As they entered a village in verse 38, there was a woman named Martha who welcomed him into her house. But she wasn't listening to him. She wasn't at his feet. She was anxious and troubled. It's like, come in, but I have a lot of other things to see to. Can we get like that, friends? I have a lot of other things to see to. I'm sure that many, perhaps most, of the people here tonight can tell of a time when you received Jesus into your life by faith. You welcomed him, as it were. Is it so real tonight? Are you still welcoming him? Are you still at his feet? Or is it, I have a lot of other things to see to, and you're not where you should be. You're not at his feet. That's where he's calling us to be. You see, you can come along. You can be at the services. You could watch online. But has that warmth, has that desire, has that attentiveness, has that hunger, is it still there? at his feet. Or have things crept into our lives, just like Martha, doing good, but not at his feet. Martha, Martha, Jesus said, you need to be where your sister is. You need to be listening to my word. Because his word, isn't it? His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. His word is so rich and so full. And yet we're so easily distracted. And we can miss the opportunities, can't we? We're not there. Is coming out to worship still a priority in our lives? Is the prayer meeting a priority in our lives? Well, it should be. Because we should be at his feet. We should be there if we claim to be his people. You see, Mary is worshiping as a disciple of Jesus. Martha, she's distracted with other things. And the other things will all go. You see, that's the thing. But one thing is needful that will never be taken away. It will never be lost. And Psalm 27, the psalmist said, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Mary had chosen that part. Notice it's the word chosen. We need to make good choices, don't we? We need to seek God for grace to make good choices. We need to seek God for grace to be obedient to his word. To live lives of holiness if we are his people. Be holy for I am holy. Where will we learn holiness? Where will we learn what we really should be doing? How we should be? And we will only learn that at his feet. We will learn it there. Because after all, wasn't it at the feet of Jesus that we found forgiveness? Was it not at his feet that our sins, where we found forgiveness for our sins when we came to him at the cross? Was it not there that peace came into our lives like the hymn says, it was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, that happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing. And my sins were washed away. It was down at the feet of Jesus where I found such perfect rest, where the light first dawned on my spirit and my soul was truly blessed. It was down at the feet of Jesus where I brought my guilt and sin, that he cancelled all my transgression and salvation entered in. The demon-possessed man, where was he found? He was found at the feet of Jesus. Before that, he was in the tombs. His life was just an absolute, he was a terror. His life was an absolute total mess. But an encounter with Jesus, he was found at his feet. And he was clothed. And he was in his right mind. People in revival that I've had the privilege and you'll have too, how often do they speak about the presence of God? Where are we going to find this presence of God if we're not going to be at his feet? And they'll talk about sitting in his presence, never wanting to move. And then they say, and I'll never forget it. We've got times like that, friends. And we'll never forget. We'll find these times at the feet of Jesus. But we're so easily distracted. His word, that's what we get. Isn't it? When the psalmist said, your word have I stored up in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That's what we find when we're taught by him at his feet. His word, Martha wasn't there. How we miss out so much. We miss out on such blessed times that perhaps we have a real longing for in our hearts, that we just long to be there. We'll only know those blessed times when we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus. To worship Him. To fall down before Him in humility. Showing our complete dependence upon Him. But it seems, as we read on a little more, that Martha learned the lesson. She took the rebuke. Because later on we read two wonderful statements that Martha made. When in the passage in John 11, where it's talking about the resurrection and the life and the raising of Lazarus, she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And then she said in verse 27, she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And when she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." Isn't that just truly lovely? Because back in the passage we're thinking about, Martha was so distracted, she was actually wanting Jesus to send Mary away from his feet. But now, she's saying, "The teacher is here, and he's calling for you." I wonder, is there someone tonight, and the teacher is calling for you? Maybe someone that you've never ever come to Jesus in the first place. You've never known that wonderful experience of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never known what it is to have your sins forgiven, to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know Him, to sit at His feet in that way. And the Savior's calling for you to come. To come to Him. And fall down before Him and ask for forgiveness. Or maybe there's someone and you've done that many years ago. And you're just not in a good place. And the same could be said. The teacher is here and he's calling for you. He's calling for you. And will you come? Just like you came whenever you came before. We can only come back in that same way. We can say, "Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me." Do you know what? God is so gracious. And anyone who comes like that, he will receive. And he will never cast out. Is there someone that has wandered? Someone perhaps like Martha. Distracted. Anxious and troubled. You need to return into the warmth of the loving company of Jesus. And fellowship with him once again. Because after all, the chief end of man is to glorify God. And to enjoy him. Forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we pray that you would help us to take your word to heart, and we seek your forgiveness because we do live in a day of such distractions. We live in a day when we can be caught up with such busyness. But help us, Lord, that we wouldn't neglect sitting at the feet of Jesus. Help us, Lord, give us grace if there's any who have find themselves in that distracted place. We pray that we would take that rebuke from you to our hearts, because you are calling us You are calling us to come back to you. Help us then to know our hearts being opened, to receive you into our hearts afresh, that we would have fellowship with you and you with us, that we would know the joy of the Lord being our strength once again, and that we would give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, we give you thanks, and we ask that you would help us as we sing our closing praise. We would sing it to your glory, make it our response to the word this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think our closing hymn is, "Oh, for a closer walk with God." Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.